Okay, we're continuing the Ramban on the Shosh Hashini. We're up to page Chafchet in the standard editions, page Tzadi in the Frankel editions. And the Ramban had been attacking the Rambam's premise that anything derived from the 13 laws of derivation is rabbinic, and that nothing that could appear in the prophets could be biblical. וכבר יצא עוד העניין הזה בדברי הרב עליו השלום להפסד גדול. And this postula of the Rambam's has already evolved into a situation that's pretty harmful. You're going to see that the Rambam in his rulings, in his halachic work, working off of this postula, is going to run into trouble. And I'll show you. שכתב בספר שופטים, the rabbi, meaning Maimonides, wrote in the book of Shoftim, in the laws of testimony, he writes, "Din Torah she'en mekablin edut lo b'dinei mamonot lo b'dinei nefashot ela mipi ha'edim." The biblical law is that you can only accept testimony orally. Witnesses have to orally state their testimony in monetary matters or laws of life and death. Shenemar, as the verse says, "Al pi shnei edim," based on the testimony of two witnesses, mipihem velo mipiktavam. It must be their oral redaction and not their writing. You want to rule based on the prophet, based on the witness's testimony, well, their testimony must be stated orally and not written. Ela midivrei sofrim, but we have an institution that's called midivrei sofrim. We'll leave that undefined for now. Shechotechin dinei mamonot veidut shebishtar. That you do rule in monetary matters based on testimony that's in a contract. Even though the witnesses aren't extant, they're dead. So how do you use a document they signed on? Because the rabbis didn't want the door locked in the face of borrowers. And if the rabbis didn't make this institution, no one would want to lend money. They'd say, how do I know that the witnesses who sign on the contract are going to be around when I need to collect? So the rabbi said, well, who's going to end up losing from this? The big loser is going to be the borrower. The lender is going to say, I don't want to lend. How do I know the witnesses are going to be around? So the rabbi said, okay, we'll let you collect based on the document even without the witnesses saying so. Says the Rambam, that's a rabbinic institution. Then the nimbe edut shebashtar b'dinei knasot, then tzich lomar b'makot uvegalut ela mipiem velo mipiktavam. And in testimony of taxes, a knas, or lashes, or sending someone to exile, you have to hear the testimony stated orally. There we would not accept written testimony. Now this halacha is a Gemara. The Gemara says mipiem velo mipiktavam. There's a lot to expand on this, but let's hear the Ramban out, and then maybe we'll come back and discuss halachic implications for today, for us. And taxes. Correct. Bot Chazal v'katav, and then later on in those laws of testimony he wrote again, "Kvar be'amnu shekiyum shtarot midivrehem kdei shlot inol del pifnei alovin." We've already explained that the idea that you can validate a legal document, that you could validate a contract and use it to collect, even though the witnesses are not present, is rabbinic just to ensure that people can get loans. I've already explained that. Ve'afal pi shematzah harav bagmara shamru chatimat haedim mina katuv. Even though the rabbi knows that, meaning Maimonides knows, it says in the Talmud, that the verse obligates the signing of the witnesses, shenemar sodot b'chesef yiknu, v'chatov b'sefer v'chatom, v'ed edim. So the verse in Jeremiah says that sell your fields, write out documents, and get the signatures of witnesses. So the Talmud understands from that if you can validate a contract, meaning you can validate that this is the signature of those witnesses, then from that verse we see that's enough. That's what the verse tells the people. Jeremiah was saying, the Navi Yirmiyahu was saying, be ready, this exile is going to last a while. You buy your fields and make sure to have good documents, because when you come back to Israel, you're going to have to to prove that this was your field. So buy it and get good signatures. What do you see from that verse? That a signature is good enough for testimony to have ownership of the field. So the verse in Yirmiyahu says that a signature validates the document. The Rambam says it's rabbinic. It's not biblical. So far, so good? Okay. Dan bezeshu midrabanan kishar kol divrei nevua. So Maimonides, going with his opinion, says, well, that's all rabbinic. Shu gozer ben shem drabanan. Maimonides says, anything that comes from the prophets is rabbinic. Only things written in the Torah are biblical. V'im asiyua hazeh shematzal edvarav kefi da'ato mima shamu mipiyem elo mipi tavam. And the Rambam thinks, I'll prove it to you. The Talmud says in Yevamos and in Gittin, you must accept testimony mipi, from the mouth of the witnesses and not from the mouth of their writing. So the Rambam says here, one verse in one area in Talmud says, you need oral testimony. The other area says, it's enough to have a signature. So what do? I say, yeah, that's rabbinic, this is biblical. And that fits according to the Rambam's theory, because the verse in Torah says it must be oral. The verse in Prophet says, no, a signature is enough. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's a rabbinic institution. So the Ramban says, this is the building Maimonides built. Now let's take it apart. He says, wait a second. I'm not the first one to take the Rambam to task over this. For generations already, the wise men, the chachamim of the different generations, have already written long responses against the Rambam. Anyone who knows how to understand, even a student can understand the proofs they bring against Maimonides. Nehem shalu, the Ramban is saying, now I'm not even going to tell you my questions on the Rambam, because I've been preceded by others. Some of them asked, danin begitin beedei chatima bilvad. Hey, what about divorce? That's a legal document. And we validate a divorce just by validating the signature of the witnesses. What about that? You say, Rambam, that rabbinically, that biblically, you must have oral testimony. And the rabbis made an institution to help the borrowers out. What about a divorce? There we do validate it. There's no borrower there, right? And yet, once you can validate the signature, the get is kosher. If a woman comes before us, shows us a get, once we can validate the signature, she's divorced. We take the get and say, now you may get married. Mr. Rambam, if biblically that doesn't work, what are we doing here? Everyone agrees you can do that. The Talmud clearly says, we have the witnesses sign the get, the divorce contract, to help the smooth running of society. What does the Talmud then ask? What are you telling me? It's a rabbinic thing to ensure the smooth running of society. It's biblical, the Talmud asks. The prophet Jeremiah said so. Sign your contracts. What does the Talmud say? It's written in Jeremiah. It's biblical. Ramban says, hey, Mr. Rambam, you're telling me it's rabbinic that the signature is enough. You see, the Talmud calls it biblical. You get me? I wouldn't want you against me. Okay.
Amar Rava lo nimtzicha le Rabbi Elazar damar edei misricha hakauti.
Rava says, okay, that's going with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that he holds that once you have witnesses of the giving over of the divorce document, that's what really severs the tie, that's what really divorces her. So if the prime factor of the divorce is that you actually have witnesses that he gave over the get, so then what do you need a signature for? You should just have witnesses of the giving over of the get. Even Rabbi Elazar says, that the rabbis nonetheless said, let's have witnesses sign the document, even though that's not the necessary part of the get. Because sometimes you'll be able to bring the witnesses, or sometimes the witnesses are going to go out they're going to go on vacation, and then she's going to want to get married, and the court's going to say, prove that you have a kosher divorce. Ah, if she has signatures in the get, that'll help her out. Meaning, the reason we require signatures is to help her out, but not because that's the integral part of the get, according to Rabbi Elazar. But what do we see? What was the Gemara's attitude to signatures? Asu alimud azeh shelamdu min ha-mikra v'chatov v'sefer v'chatov v'edidim doraita. Do you mind just telling him that he's blocking the video camera? Thank you. Sorry. Sorry to trouble you.
Is it blocking?
Just show him the camera. It'll be okay. So you see that the Talmud approaches this derivation from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu as biblical. The Talmud says, it says in Jeremiah that you have to sign the document. I didn't realize we went overtime, guys. Yeah, but they're tired. We're supposed to end at 10. What? You want to continue another 5 minutes? We'll finish this thought in the Ramban, yeah? Okay. So then what did the rabbis mean when they said kiyum shtarot, the validation of documents is rabbinic? They meant the exact opposite of what Maimonides said. לומר דמין התורה ולא קיום דנין בן כמו שהזכירו בתחילת גיטין בדינו דקיום שטרות לא ליבאי כדי אמר יש לקיש עדים החתומים על השטר נעשה כמי שנחקרה עדותן בביתים רבננו די הצרוך והשם משום איגונה כאילו ברבנן. Technically, the fact that you have witnesses signed, that should be enough. Why do we verify anything about the shtar? That's a rabbinic institution that we're more stringent. Technically, once you have a signature, you have a kosher document, that should be enough. When the Talmud says it's a rabbinic institution that we check out a shtar, it means the exact opposite of what Maimonides said. Maimonides says it's a rabbinic leniency. Technically, you should require the testimony. The rabbi said we'll be lenient. We'll let them get away with just validating the document. The Ramban says, no, it's the exact opposite. Technically, you have a document with kosher signatures, kosher, finished. You don't need anything else. The rabbis were stringent, and they said, no, we want to validate the document. They added a stringency and said, check out that document. Make sure it's a kosher document with kosher signatures. So it's not like the Rambam said, it's the exact opposite. And in instances where, if you don't go through all of that, she's going to remain stuck. She won't be able to get remarried. So the rabbis were more lenient, because the whole problem is a rabbinic problem. That's what the Talmud says, that there are instances where we believe people who are disqualified from testimony ordinarily, because the Talmud says the whole necessity to validate it is rabbinic. So if they invented this necessity, they can also say we'll be lenient and we'll trust whoever we want to trust. We don't have to conform to the standard to the standards. Yes. Okay. Let's summarize what we saw today. Okay? From the beginning. Okay, we'll get there too. We began, the Ramban had said that this idea that the rabbis can confiscate money is a powerful point that the rabbis use, because the Ramban had quoted from the Talmud in Gittin, where if a person stole an animal, dedicated it, and then sacrificed it outside the temple, he gets kares. So the Talmud asked, how did he gain ownership of it? And the Talmud said, well, the rabbis gave him ownership. And then he gets a biblical kares. So he said, you see, the rabbi's capacity to affect legal ownership has biblical implications. So this idea that's derived from the prophets, from the Ksuvim even, it's derived from the book of Ezra, that the rabbis can take legal ownership of something, you see that that has complete power, even biblical power. Not like Maimonides said that anything you get out of the prophets is rabbinic. You see here, the monetary power is completely biblical. He's Chayav Kares because they made it his. They made the animals his so that he could legally dedicate it, and when he'll slaughter it outside the temple, he gets Kares.
So the rabbis take control of it and then give the control from them to this person. They don't give it straight to them. It's like now it's this stolen thing is now possession of the
not
rabbi.
No. It's not. They make it legally hefker, legally ownerless, and then they make it his.
Right.
But not theirs.
They're not in
right.
And What does it say in Ezra?
It says in Ezra that the rabbis convened the court, and they said, we want to interview everyone, and whoever doesn't show up, we're going to pull out his hair, beat him up, and confiscate his land. So you see from that verse that the courts have a capacity to take people's property, to take things that are the other people's possession. From that verse, we understand that one of the strengths of the court is they can take monetary ownership of things. What? Well, that was a serious case.
Are they saying that this Nevi'im is considered Deoraita?
Yeah, that's what the Ramban is saying. But in a second, he'll spell it out. Okay. So the Ramban said, and my second proof is that the Talmud quotes a pasuk where King Saul said to the people, this is what you slaughter with. And the Talmud said, from that you know that you biblically must check a knife, that there are no crevices in the knife, that's completely smooth. So you see, a biblical law is derived from there. Ultimately, we say, no, it's not a biblical law, it's only rabbinic, that they said he has to show his knife to the rabbi. But he says, you see that the Gemara entertained the thought, it was fine for the Gemara to say they have a biblical law derived from a verse in Prophets. He said, here's what you slaughter with. He showed them the knife. So from there we derive that you have to check the knife, that he had checked the knife and he gave it to them. And then the Ramban says, you see, the Talmud tells us that all the prophets didn't add or detract from the Torah even one letter, except for the reading of Megillah. How did they add the reading of Megillah? They said a kal v'chomer. If the Jews sang a song when they were taken from out of slavery, so certainly we should have a song, meaning the reading of the Megillah, when our complete lives are saved. It's not only slavery, we were all in danger of annihilation. So, what do you see here? That all the institutions are, that the rabbis made, they're not an addition or a detractment of the Torah. Only this is. And this they derive from a kal v'chomer. He says, then what do you do with everything it says in the prophets? We just said you could derive biblical things from the prophets. The Talmud says all the prophets didn't add or detract anything. So he said, well, some of them are rabbinic. They're just takanos and zeros. They're warning you how to be careful about the Torah. And some of them are things that they had on tradition. They had biblical laws on tradition. Halacha Moshe Misinai. And along came the prophet and gave it a verse. But the concept came from Sinai, and we quoted the Machzor Vikri, that's why it's called Divrei Kabbalah, because the prophets didn't introduce any new concepts. They took things that were on tradition, and they gave them a verse. But the concept had a tradition before that.
This is Ramban?
This is all Ramban. Then the Ramban said, and the Rambam really messed up with this concept, because the Rambam wrote that biblically all testimony must be oral. The rabbis were lenient in certain circumstances that they were willing to trust a legal document, they were willing to trust a contract so that people would be able to get loans. The Ramban said, that's ridiculous. When the Talmud tells us that you use signatures, the Talmud refers to that as biblical. Everyone wrote against the Rambam on this. He says, I'm not the first. Look at a woman's divorce contract. If she has a divorce contract with signatures, she's biblically divorced. You don't say, well, biblically I need witnesses to come and talk before me. Secondly, he says, the Talmud says, we sign the get to ensure the smooth running of society. Mipnei tikkun olam. So the Talmud said, what do you tell me, mipnei tikkun olam? The verse says in Jeremiah, you have to sign your documents. It's biblical. What do you see from that line in Talmud? The Talmud understood that signing a legal document validates it biblically. Not like Maimonides says, biblically you need testimony. Rabbinically we let you get away with the signature. It's a verse in Prophets, it's a verse in Yirmiyahu, but the Gemara assumes it's biblical. A signature is enough biblically. And that which the Talmud says, that the validation of a document is rabbinic, is the exact opposite from what Maimonides thought. Maimonides thought, and this is the final point in the Ramban, Maimonides thought, biblically, you need testimony. Rabbinically, they were lenient and let you get away with only validating the document. Says the Ramban, no, it's the exact opposite. It's not a leniency, the validating of a document, it's a stringency the rabbis instituted. Technically, biblically, the document is enough. You have a document that's signed by witnesses, it's enough.
The witnesses are restrictions.
The fact that I have to verify the document, I have to validate the signatures, that is a rabbinic stringency.
Who is I?
the courts or the plaintiff. If you want to use the document, you have to bring you have to validate that.
What does that mean? Bring the person who signed it and said
that. Or bring people who recognize that signature. Right, and that's why the Ramban says, that's why we find instances where the rabbi said, we'll trust people we wouldn't ordinarily trust, being that the whole idea is our institution, we can also say that we trust people that the Torah doesn't ordinarily trust. We trust them because it's all a rabbinic institution. Okay.